I've told you, in case you're hearing it for the first time, that everything God does is a Trinity. Everything. So the doctrine of Trinity does not only apply to God, it applies to the universe, it applies to human beings, it applies to church, it applies to everything in creation. So you are a Trinity, you are a spirit, soul, and body, you know? So you need to understand that. And because of those who think Trinity means that we are worshiping three gods, you are a Trinity, but you are one person. I have a Trinity here now. Look at that light. It's a Trinity, but yet it's one light. There's a part now that is shining on my eyes, enabling me to read. That's light. If you get close, these lights are hot. Sometimes we even use a bluish screen to create. I can't see that here. There are some of them that look like they have it. I'm not sure. But with our own designs, we do that to reduce the heat and all that. There is that other one called heat. It doesn't shine. It burns. I mean, you feel it. I mean, one you feel. So when your pot gets hot and you want to carry it and go that one that makes your hand do like this, that's heat. The second person of the Trinity of Light. But there's one that burns, the combustion that takes place inside that makes all the other two possible. So if it's in literal sense, we call it fire. It's combustion. And it's the source of the other two. And sometimes that combustion gets too hot, the filament breaks. You say the bulb has burnt. You even use the word burnt, or it has died. Do you know that life is a Trinity? Do you know that sin is a Trinity? Do you know that evil is a Trinity? Yesterday I was explaining to them that sin is three-dimensional. So to solve your sin problem, you need more than forgiveness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You see this all through the Bible, but maybe you have never wondered why it's like that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So that's forgiveness. Forgiveness means I've pardoned you. You can go. No more hassles. No holding it against you. But that doesn't mean you are free from the sin. You go and commit another one. If a criminal walks in here now, and we just pardon him, he just robbed their bank, he's arrested, police carries him, and they're going to execute him. We just say, Oga, please release him. You are pardoned. You can go. It doesn't mean he has stopped crime. So there's another word after forgiveness. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's another word called cleansing. That's the one that gets inside and remove the root of that sin so you don't go back doing it. We need more than forgiveness. We need cleansing. We need cleansing. Let me use another word. You need purging. Sir, come. You, behind. Yeah, the white, wearing white. Come on stage. This, what I'm about to do now happens. I don't have a chair, but let's assume I have a chair. You are seated in a restaurant. You just order the food. And a waitress that is carrying food, maybe for somebody else, it might even be for your own order, comes and tips. And then tea and pap and soup pours on this, you're beautiful. And what if you're on your way to church or your way to a wedding? And then normally they'll tell you, sorry. And the way they behave in Nigeria as if sorry solves problem. go to UK, if you go to US, you hit somebody's car, you say sorry, but you go and fix it. Nobody goes home with sorry. When you say sorry, the anger calms down. Then you take their car and fix it. If you run a Mr. Biggs and you spill water in your front, like you see that, and a person falls, you say sorry first. Then you pay the person. If they need to go to hospital, you pay the medical bills. When repentance is back with action that proves that there is repentance, that's when it's real. So that way we apologize in Nigeria is what we do with God. We think that's repentance. In God, repentance is when you finish saying sorry, you change your way of life. You change your behavior. So let me ask you, the sorry, and then you can also accept the sorry, say, okay, it's okay, it's okay. Has he cleansed the cloth?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay, what do we need to do to get this thing clean again?
You have to wash it.
It needs to be washed. I'm sorry, after sleeping with a married man, has not removed. It means, okay, you are pardoned, won't punish you, but it doesn't mean you are not still dead. It doesn't mean you have stopped. Because there is something sin does, you need to know. When it touches you, it dirties you. You become unclean. If somebody pushes you into a gutter, and then you come out, and you want to revenge, he says, please, I'm sorry. It's a mistake. He says, okay, you are forgiven. Has he made you clean? What that sorry did is to settle quarrel. It hasn't solved the problem that the quarrel or that situation created. So when sin happens, it doesn't just require forgiveness. Some forgiveness can just take care of it. But sin itself is a trinity. Write it, the trinity of sin. So you see why this man might need more than forgiveness. That there are sometimes people need cleansing. The first sin is the original sin, the one Adam committed, and it affected every human being. And so when people are born here, they are born with it. The second one is personal sin, the one you committed. And if you say sorry, sometimes sorry can do, depending on the nature of what you did. The third one is inherited sin. Inherited sin, the Bible calls such sins iniquity. Inherited sins, there are sins that are your bloodline, they are your gene, they are running in your family line. Inherited sin are generational sins. If you have problem with that, check. It didn't start with you. Look at your parents. You might even look at their parents. Your parents might be the first generation. They might be the third generation of that sin. They might be the 20th generation of that sin. You might just be in the line doing something that has been going on for 200 years. Such sin, I'm sorry, doesn't remove it. Please forgive me, doesn't remove it. It's in your gene. It's going to show up again. And it's going to show up again. It needs to be purged out of your system. The getting rid of generational sin requires deliverance. Requires not just repentance. But I need to make another point that's important. Deliverance itself is 70% repentance. Yes. That's a large part of what it takes to set a man free is repentance. There's a smaller part, 25 to 30%, which is rebuking that devil that is there enforcing that situation because of the sin. What happened is that sin gives the devil legal ground to operate. So the moment you take care of the sin through solid repentance, that devil loses his legal basis for operating, so you can command him to leave. You know, once a court has pardoned you or granted you, acquitted you, the police cannot harass you again. Am I correct? I know in Nigeria sometimes they violate court orders. But the right thing is that the order of the court overrules the activities of the law enforcement agencies. Whether it's prison warden, whether it's police, whether it's the army, once the court has ruled. And if the ruling of the court is to get you arrested, the sentence applies. So when you approach the throne of God, you are approaching a judge. You are coming to a courtroom. Adekopota, Shilastos, Kopolanimo, Tentosto, Supinesha. Oh, yeah, I see something that can help me. Can they bring this basket, offering basket? The design helps the illustration. Now, please show them in Hebrews where the Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace so we can get mercy. Huh? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace so that we can obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. There is a way you come here, you don't get judgment, you don't get condemnation. What you get is mercy, you get grace, you get help. I need to show you that. So I said, we have two discussions. This one, because the Lord said, I should do that. There are a lot of people out there that here now listening to me that need this help. So that the blockage on your part can open. You can begin to fly high again. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The church must know how to tackle the sickness, the malady called sin. If we are not able to do that, a lot of people will be trapped. When God starts doing the move of the Holy Ghost and other things, those ones are blocked out. They are blocked out. They can't make contacts. The first problem the church must know how to solve is sin, so that people are set free and they can go on to live for God. This throne of God is called the throne of grace. You can also call it the throne of mercy. Because this is how it is designed. When Moses was asked to build the tabernacle, when he finished, he told him, build an ark. That ark is where God sits. Now, when you guys think about where God sits, like in heaven now, he's seated, you think of something like this, maybe more elaborate, like a king's throne. Where God sits is more, is closer to this. Actually, there are four horns. There is a horn here, a pillar here, a horn here, a horn here, a horn here. Oh, look at it. This is what his throne looks like. And then you have these cherubs. And then you have those pipes that are there. It's a little more complex than the way it's made simple here. Because those pipes is used to lift up the throne. This one will be hard for you to understand. In Africa, we have some of those rulers or traditional rulers, kings, that people carry. You know what I'm talking about? God's throne, it didn't start on earth, it started in heaven. God's throne is mobile. They carry it. And actually, it's also a flying saucer. Like what they call unidentified flying objects. UFO. But this is how the throne of God is. So you have these angels with six wings, the cherubims, who are over it, covering it in all, and they are called the guidance of the throne. The guidance of God's glory. In the middle, in between them there, is where God sits. Do you have one that has the Shekinah in the middle? And when God sits, it's a personal. The light of his countenance is so bright that those angels can't look. Two of their wings are used to block their eyes, to protect them from going blind. Find one that has the Shekinah in the middle. And then you and I, who come from earth, when we bring worship, this is where, yeah, this is where we are to send our worship. You see, this is where he sits. Okay, the one Moses was told to do a photocopy, a kind of prototype. You know, this building, as big as it is, you can do a prototype that I can keep in my hand, the same building. And when you bring it in the front and look at it and look at the building, you see it's the building, but the building will be the enlarged version. You know that? Architects, after designing, you can build a prototype of a very mighty auditorium. It can even be a stadium, and you can keep it here. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Moses was asked to do, but to do that prototype in a way that it would depict the real thing that exists in heaven. If you go, I will show you. He was taken to the Mount Sinai. He was there for 40 days. They took him to heaven, showed him the heavenly tabernacle, and told to build a prototype of it. And God said to him more than four times, see, show them what I'm saying. See that you build it according to the pattern that is shown to them above. Show it to them. It's very important. The Old Testament version, because it's repeated in the New Testament. Show them, you know, see that you build it according to the pattern. Everyone said that word, build according to the pattern. Now, this pattern is how heaven is. Where did Moses get the idea of outer court, holy place, and holiest of all? That's how heaven is. When you land in heaven and cross the gate, where you are is in the outer court of heaven. Those cherubs are the highest ranking angels. And there are four, not one. So when someone tells you, Lucifer is there. No. Lucifer is just one out of four. When he fell, he the ones under his command are the ones he took with him. There are four. So you see, when God needs to move, like coming in here now, he doesn't need to get up and start running. God sits down and travels around the universe. I can show you this thing. And it happens sometimes. People don't know. It happens. I can show it to you. What he does, one of them picks up this side. One picks up this ring. The other picks up this. The other picks up this. And they take off in the air. This stuff, these angels, I'm not calling them stuff because they are beings. These beings travel at the speed of thought. They travel faster than the speed of light. They don't turn. There's nothing like turning. Because they have four heads. Every direction they are looking. And they have eyes all over them. You and I have eyes. Two eyes. No, they have many eyes. They have eyes not only on their faces. They have other eyes. So if they need to descend, they don't need to turn. They just start moving. And there is one facing each direction. One facing the north, one facing the south, one facing. The one that fell, the one they call Lucifer, is a cherub. I know some of you call him archangel. He's not an archangel. Archangels are higher than cherubs. Cherubims are higher than archangels. Let me repeat that so you get. Cherubims are higher than archangels. Michael is an archangel. That's why every time he meets Lucifer, he respects him, even till today. Yes, he does that. good. There are other records. Pick that one. He does not bring insulting words. He can't insult Satan because he was his boss in the army. Yet Michael, the archangel, Michael is an archangel. Lucifer was a cherub. When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. You know, Moses, nobody knows where his body. Michael was the one that was asked to bury his body. Nobody even had seen how Moses died. So the devil came to fight over the body of Moses. So in that accusation, Michael cannot insult Lucifer. They are not colleagues. Even though he's now a fallen being, you don't insult him. And some of you don't know that. That if somebody was once in the army of God, if a Pastor Adebwe now backslide, he will still not give you right to be insulting him. How much more now that he's still God's servant? You go on social media, you call out men of God, you call out. You get yourself into deep water. You are running into problems you don't have means to handle. This is Satan that is already evil. You can see his name here. They didn't call him Lucifer, which is, they call him the what? He disputed about the body of Moses. He does not bring against him really an accusation. But what he said is, the Lord does do what? Rebuked it. No, give them a new translation, simple translation. Let them see what we are reading. Even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, the Lord rebuked it. This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. Give me another translation. The word is not that accused. Yes? Okay, yet Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, when he was arguing with Satan about Moses' body, did not dare accuse even Satan or jeer at him, but simply said, the Lord rebuked. Another translation. Even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil, Satan, arguing about the body of Moses, did not that bring an abusive condemnation against him, but simply said what? Now, he now uses this to teach human beings about respect for authority. Look at what he said in verse 10. But these men, human beings, sneer at anything which they do not understand. Whatever they do not know by men's state,